Hey, welcome. It's great to have you here in the West venue and those over in the East venue and those that are on our online stream. Great to have you here with us as well today. If we haven't met before, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And we are in week two. We started last week. We're going to go throughout the rest of this month on what we're calling about what's your next step. That's what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to start off by telling you a story that happened to me. I'm remembering it probably around 3 years ago. I was out and about in town somewhere, and I can't even remember the store I was at, but a guy came up to me. I'm just going to say his name was John. It wasn't John, but I'm going to say his name is John. And he came up to me at the store, and he goes, "Hey, Pastor Mark," he says, "my wife and I and our kids have been coming to your church for a while now." And he said, "You know, just love it." And he goes, and then as he's kind of talking, he kind of grabs my back and kind of pushes me a few feet away from his wife and his kids. And he says, "Hey, I want to see if you'd pray for me." Now, normally when, and I've had that happen before when I'm out, when somebody sees and wants, you know, say, "Hey, Mark, will you pray about this?" and whatever. Usually people will ask for me to pray for one thing. You know, and if that one thing is to pray for your cat, I'm not going to do that one. But anyway, but in this case, what this guy was doing was he had kind of marched me a little bit away from his wife and kids. And he says, "Would we pray for me about some things?" And he began to put out a laundry list. "We pray for our marriage. We pray for my older son. We pray for our finances. I just bought a boat and I don't think I should have bought a boat because I'm just having the finances of all that." And he listed about two or three other things and just kind of went going on. And I said, "Yeah, I'll pray with you for that." And I said, "Before I pray," I said, "let me ask you a couple questions. When you're at church, what venue do you go to?" I don't know. "Okay. What small group are you part of?" "I'm not part of a small group." Where do you serve at?" I don't serve anywhere. When was the last time you," this was the clincher, "when was the last time you were at church?" "Easter." Well, this was late August, early September when I was meeting him. And so I said, "Yeah, I'll pray with you, but here's the thing I want to tell you, John." I said, "Maybe you need to stop going to church." And that's what I'm going to tell some of you today. Maybe you need to stop going to church. Because a lot of times what happens is we just think that that's all church is about. I'm going to go to church for an hour. And if you look at the statistics in our country, people who say that they are churchgoers, the statistics say that the churchgoing person will go one Sunday a month. And so that's a churchgoer, one Sunday a month. But maybe we need to stop going to church. Because that's not what church is about. In fact, I kind of wrote up a little something, and I want it on the screen because as I'm telling you about it, I want you to actually see it. God's highest calling for you, God's highest calling for you isn't for you to go to a destination, not at all, but to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Not to go to church, but to be planted, listen, to be planted in the church, to be the church, to be a light to this dark world. That is what church is about. That is why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come and as a little baby at Christmas time and then 33 years later on Easter die and rose again on a cross so that we can come once a month for an hour to a building. That is not why he died and rose again. That was not his mission. So often we think, "I'm just going to go to church." There's a verse in Psalm 92:12. Take a look. This is kind of a weird little verse. "The righteous," listen, "the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon." Now, what's interesting is that word flourish. In our society, in our culture, we don't use the word flourish very often, right? People come and see me and go, "Hey, Mark, how are you doing?" I don't say, "Oh, I'm flourishing." I mean, do you use that word? I mean, we don't use the word flourishing, right? What does flourishing mean? When it talks about being flourishing like a palm tree and they will grow in the car, what does that mean, flourishing? It means growing. That means putting down roots and growing. And knowing others, knowing God, being a part of the mission of Jesus Christ. Not just go to church. That's not what it's about. That's not why Jesus came. That's not why Jesus died and rose again. His mission wasn't for you and I just to come for an hour once a month and call ourselves churchgoers. That is not what it's about. You see, what's interesting is this, is that Scripture tells us someday, and we don't know when, it could be in our lifetime, but someday Jesus will return and he will take all of his people to heaven. It talks about how he will gather the church. And some of you always, you maybe heard that story before in the Bible. And you're like, yeah, that's going to be really weird. All these buildings are going to be going up to heaven. No, can I tell you, the buildings are not the church. The people are the church. It's not this building. Can I tell you, this building, people will say that this is a church building, but this building isn't the church. It's a church building, meaning that when we come together, we are the church. This is where we as the church meet. It's not the building. The church isn't the building. You and I are the building. And so often, we're like, well, I don't know. I just want to go to church. And that is not what church is about. That is not why Jesus died and rose again. That's not his mission. It's for you to just have an hour to hang out once a month. You know, it's interesting. Just like that guy, John, that caught me a couple of years ago when he says, yeah, we go to your church. You know, that's always kind of sounded funny to me. I go to church. That's just like saying, I go to the movies. I go to the show. I go to the concert. I go to the game. I go to the fair. When I go to the fair, I don't become the fair. When I go to the movie, I don't become the movie. When I go to a concert, I don't become the concert. And somehow we think when we come to church, we're the church. But some of you I just want to go to church. I don't want to be the church. And God's going, you got to have roots. Don't just go to church. Be the church. Put down roots. Be planted. Have something there that's valuable. That verse we just talked about. In that verse, they talked about two different types, cedars and palm trees. What's interesting is cedars are durable. Oh, my goodness. They get tall. They get durable. In fact, some of you probably maybe have at home a cedar chest, and that thing is durable. You can put anything in there, and it just protects it, and it smells good. Oh, it's just amazing. And then you got the palm branches. So palm branches signifies victory and triumph. In fact, think about this. Back in the first century, when the Corinthians started the Olympic Games, when somebody would win one of the Olympic Games, they didn't have a gold medallion. What they would give them is a palm branch, because that was like the gold standard at that point. You get a palm branch because you won your game. You were victorious. Think about when Jesus was on the donkey riding into Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to be executed. It was called the triumphant entry. And what did they do as he came on that donkey into Jerusalem? What do they do? If you remember the story, they were waving palm branches, meaning victory. This is you, Jesus. You're victorious. A few days later, they were saying kill him, but whatever. I mean, they just kind of flipped around a little bit. But here we're seeing in Scripture. Here we're seeing in Scripture that we are not to just go to church. We're to put down roots. We're to be part of the church. Who will flourish? Well, tell us this in verse 13. Verse 13 says, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Again, we don't use the word flourish, but flourish means to grow, to know God better, to be on mission with him. Yes, the winds and waves and storms of life will happen, but you're planted, you've got roots in the house of God. It's not just a place you go to church. This is a place where you're a part of the mission and the vision of what God is about. And if you're just going to church, that's not going to help you at all. Are you planted? Are you putting roots down? Are you growing? Verse 14 says this, they will still bear fruit in old age, which every year as I have a birthday, this is meaning more and more to me, right? They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. Do you know God is that? Is he upright? Is he your rock? Is he the one that your roots are holding on to? Or do you just go to church? See, we have a lot of people in our country that just go to church. But I'm going to tell you, if they put down roots and they really understood what Christ did for them and they really came into that relationship and they really got planted, we would have a different culture today. In our country, in our world. But we got people, we just go to church. That's all we do. That's all we need to do. We just go to church, and then we go out and have something to eat, and then we go watch the Seahawks, and then that's about it. It's just we go to church. What are they going to do? They're going to proclaim this. They're going to proclaim the Lord is right. He's my rock. You see, what's interesting is I've talked with a lot of people, and I hear sometimes people using different language that shows that they are rooted, that they are planted, that they are flourishing. But I hear a lot of other people that say things more like what people who just go to church do. Like, I'm not flourishing, I'm withering, I'm dying, I'm struggling. Our marriage isn't doing good. I mean, we're still gonna have struggles, we're still gonna have problems, but we shouldn't be empty. We shouldn't be withering on the vine. We should be having something happening with us when we are planted, when we are growing in God. And if you feel yourself withering and dying and empty, and where is God when I pray? It feels like he's just, the prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Could it be, just bear with me, could it be that if you're feeling that way, maybe you're just going to church? And that's not what Jesus was about. Jesus wasn't about you just coming for an hour and just sitting around. Oh, that's good. Then go out and have pie. There's more. There's a mission. There's a purpose. There's a reason. Those who are planted are those who flourish. I want to ask you a question. Don't answer this question for your neighbor or for your spouse or for your parents. I want you to answer it internally to yourself. Are you rooted in the house of God? Are you growing in the house of God? Are you knowing God better, connecting with others? Are you growing? Is life different? Are you on mission with Jesus Christ? Or do you just go to church? Be honest with yourself. Nobody's gonna look at you weird because it's an internal thing. Are you rooted? Or are you just going to church? You see, we need to understand seeds. Our life is like a seed. When you plant a seed will grow, a seed will multiply, it will produce fruit. But a seed that has not been planted will not do anything. It will just lay there. It'll eventually die. Is your life a seed? And are you planted or are you not planted? Let me give you a verse. It tells us in Matthew 13. It says this: A farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Now, I want to give you something for your notes, and we're going to talk about what this verse means. The thing I want to give you in your notes is that there's two things about seeds I want to talk about, and the first one is this, is that a seed can only grow if it's planted. A seed can only grow if it's planted. And in this story that Jesus is talking about, this is what's called a parable. This is a parable where Jesus was the master teacher, and he would always talk in parables, which is a spiritual story, but it's made up. And he was telling about this story that these guys would know, because they knew that a lot of people back then were farmers. And he went out and he sowed all this seed, and some of it landed on some bad soil. It took a little bit of root, but then the weather came, the heat came, and it just died out. And I want you to stop and think about this, because sometimes this is us when we just go to church. Because when we just go to church, oh, we may try for a little bit, and all of a sudden the first thing that happens, the first struggle, the first bill we get in the mail, the first whatever, our wife looks at us sideways, our husband looks sideways at us, all of a sudden we're like, oh, where's God at? God must not be real, because when I came to know God, he should make everything perfect in my life. Talk to some of the older people in this church who have followed God for a long time. They're going to tell you their life was not perfect. Can I even remind you, Jesus' life wasn't perfect. He had people executing him. Can I tell you that if you are thinking when bad things happen, God must not exist, or God doesn't care about me, so either way, I am out. That is wrong thinking. Because you have fallen into your seed of your life has fallen into soil that just wasn't good. But let's look at what Scripture says in verse 8. It says, other seed that fell on good soil. Listen, what happened to it? It multiplied 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. In other words, that seed that landed in the good soil, all of a sudden it began to put down roots. And all of a sudden it began to multiply other plants and more fruit. And just kept multiplying over and over and over and over again. See, this is what God's called us to do. We are to be on mission with God, not just going to church. And so often we have that all over the place at every church in Tri-City has somebody like that, has people like that, just going to church. And we don't know the difference. Can I just remind us? Jesus gave his life for a mission. He calls you and I to be part of that mission. And we think, I'm part of the mission because I just go to church once a month. Woo! God's going, that's just the beginning. There's so much more than that. So much more. But somehow, we don't get it. A seed can only grow if it's planted. But let me give you a second thing about seeds. Second thing about seeds is this, is that going to church isn't the same as being planted. And some of you right now are going, dang, I was afraid he was going to say that. That's exactly right. Going to church isn't the same as being planted. God's called us to be planted, not just to go to church, but somehow along the way, we feel like it's just an option. I mean, some of you are going to think I've been peeking into your windows of your house or something, or thinking that I've kind of somehow got onto your Alexa and I can hear what you're talking about. But on Sunday mornings, or like maybe to this morning or some other Sunday mornings, sometimes in your homes, this is what happens. You will say, if you have a family or a spouse or kids or something, you'll say something like this. Hey, are we going to church today? That should be a non-negotiable. When you are planted, not just going to church, but when you are planted, that's non-negotiable. You go to church. It's Sunday. It's time to go and plant even further, to get our roots in the soil, to begin to know more about God. This is a non-negotiable thing. But so many people, Sunday morning, are we going to church today? Because, you know, I'm tired. I don't feel good. The Seahawks are playing this afternoon. I mean, should we go to church? It's a non-negotiable when you have roots. This is not something that it's like saying to your kids, hey, kids, do you want to eat today? It's a non-negotiable, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure they want to eat today. Yeah. Hey, kids, do you want to breathe air today? Yeah. Okay, it's a non-negotiable. You don't have to ask those questions. You're expecting that they're going to eat, that they want to breathe air. And when it comes to God, that's not non-negotiable. Hey, are we going to church? We are going to church. It's non-negotiable. We have our roots down, but it is negotiable when we just go to church. So where are you Be honest with yourself. Are you putting down roots? Are you growing? Are you knowing God better? Are you knowing others? Are you on mission with what God's about? Or do you just, every so often, just kind of just go to church? Which is it for you? You see, it's very interesting because a lot of times we just don't get it. We just thought, I thought just going to church would be enough. Let me give you something about what church means. There's a Greek word that's ekklesia is how it's pronounced, and that means church in Greek. But in English, here's how it's translated. Ekklesia, the word church, means gathering or assembly. So when we gather together in this building, in whichever venues we are at, this is where the church gathers. Again, the building isn't the church. It's just the building where the church gathers. We gather together Sundays, right? But we also gather together throughout the week, and starting this week, in small groups. As we get to know each other, as we get to grow with each other, where we begin to have relationship with other people, other like-minded people. When we start getting to know each other and we help them and they help us and we pray for each other and we encourage each other, and Scripture talks about iron sharpens iron. We help one another in different ways. That is being part of the gathering or the assembly as well. Not just the big group on Sunday morning, but it's also the small groups throughout the week as we gather together and our roots go deeper and we get to know others and we get to know God better. Have you planted your seed, or do you just go to church? Which is it? See, let me give you something. When we're followers of Christ, we realize we are the church, and we exist for the world. Well, who's the world that we exist for? We exist for those within the church. In your small group, there will be times where there will be somebody in your small group that is struggling with something, that needs prayer, that needs encouragement. Maybe they need a meal. Maybe they need a ride to the doctor, whatever. And you may be the one to do that. And then there's going to be times in your small group where you may need it, and somebody in the group will do that for you. So we're here for the world, those that are, yes, in the church. But we also exist for the world, and the mission is outside of the church. For those who do not know Jesus Christ, can I tell you, that is why Jesus came. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And after he died and rose again, all of a sudden we begin to see this word is called Christian. And that's what they're saying followers of Jesus were, as Christians. And Christian literally means little Christ, doing what Jesus did. Jesus wanted to seek and save the lost. And now his mission is for you and I to do the exact same thing. There's a huge difference between going to a building and being plugged into a calling, a movement, a mission. There's a huge difference between that. Are you part of the mission? Are you helping other people, inviting them to church, talking to them about Jesus, saying, hey, I'm going to pray for you, whatever. I want to pray for your sickness or for your divorce you're going through or whatever. And all of a sudden, we're on mission, trying to reach and help people. Maybe it's people we know in school. Maybe it's people in our neighborhood or where we work or longtime friends. But we are part of the movement, the mission, the calling that God has for us. Are you part of that? Are we putting down roots, or are we just going to church? What are we doing? Because if we're just going to church and you are doing what the rest of the country does once a month, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to help. It's not going to help. Let me give you a couple examples. Let me talk about person A and person B. Person A's become the church for a little while, likes the music, likes the message when Mark's not speaking, but other people are. Comes at least once a month, on a good month, maybe a second time. Doesn't go to small group, doesn't give, doesn't serve, doesn't do anything, doesn't read the Bible, just doesn't do anything, but comes once, maybe twice, on a Sunday morning for an hour. And they wonder why they don't feel connected. They wonder why they don't feel like they got roots down, where they're growing in God. They just don't quite understand. Person B, however, Oh, they like the music. They like the message. But all of a sudden they're going, I'm different. I'm in a group and people are supporting me and I'm supporting them. I'm serving. It's not just about the church serving me. I'm serving somewhere to help other people. Maybe it's inside the church. Maybe it's outside the church. I'm giving as God's calling me to give. I want to know God better. I'm praying. I'm doing whatever I can because I want to put roots down. I want to grow in God. I want to grow in this church. We started coming, didn't know anybody, but I feel like I'm growing here. Something's happening. I'm changing. I'm different. Would you be more like person A or would you be more like person B? Be honest with yourself. Which one would you be? You see, what happens when you're planted? What happens when you're planted? Let me give you a couple things to put in your notes. When you're planted, your roots grow deep. When you're planted, your roots grow deep. Let me give you a verse. Jeremiah 17:8 says this. They're like trees that are planted along the riverbank with roots that grow deep into the water. And what happens with those roots that go deep? Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. In other words, I want you to stop and think. Do your roots grow deep so that when there's drought, you still get moisture? In other words, do your roots go deep? And when the next big problem or big catastrophe or big trial in your life comes, does it just blow you over? Or do you have your roots down deep to where you can withstand? How deep do your roots grow? How do you do that? Let me share a story with you. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there a few times. At the Redwood Forest, if you go on the border between Oregon and California, you'll see the giant redwoods. These things are crazy if you haven't been to it. Some of the redwoods can grow 30 stories high. 30 stories high. Flash cube buildings, what, 4 stories? So you put that 7.5 times more. 30 stories high a redwood can get. And they can get as wide as 3 stories. It's amazing when you stop to think about it. But here's what we don't see. These giant redwoods that are 30 stories high, 3 stories wide, under the ground, they have roots that go down and out between 100 and 150 feet. And what we don't know is right over here is another 30-story redwood, and it also has roots going down 100 to 150 feet down and out. And what's happening is this redwood has got roots coming over here. This redwood has got roots coming over here. And they begin to intertwangle with each other. And all of a sudden, you are seeing when you're 30 stories high and the heavy winds begin to blow, that is something that could blow over those things. But they don't. Why? Because they've got the root system and they're connected to each other, helping each other. This is what we need. We need to put down roots and we need to connect them with other people so that we are there. Because when the storms of life begin to blow, if you are by yourself, listen, you will bend and eventually it will break. You will break. But when you got a clump of trees together, all the trees may bend, but they're not going to break because they're supporting one another. You just go to church? Or are you part of the church? Are you the church? Are you putting roots down? You see, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you're a follower of Jesus Christ or not, you have the same spiritual enemy. As a Christian, as followers of Christ, we have a spiritual enemy, the devil. But I'm going to tell you, for those who do not know Jesus Christ, have never accepted his forgiveness and his relationship that he offers, you have the same spiritual enemy too, Satan. Well, I'm not a Christian. Why is Satan on my tail? Well, he's on your tail because he doesn't want you to know God and he's trying to interfere with God getting to know you. So either way, whether you're a Christian or not, we have the same spiritual enemy. And can I tell you, your and I spiritual enemy does not care if you just go to church because he knows that's not going to do anything. Just go to church for an hour, once in a while, once a month. It's not going to do anything. But when you start planting your roots. And you begin to intertwine them with others. All of a sudden, he's getting worried because before, even though you just went to church, you were still isolated. You weren't connected to anybody. They weren't connected to you. And all of a sudden, you're connected to people. That's where Satan starts getting worried because now he's going, other people know about your problems. Other people know about your struggles and you know about theirs. And you're praying for each other and you're encouraging one another. Oh my goodness. And all of a sudden, he gets a little worried. But if you just go to church, he doesn't give a rip. Go ahead, just go to church. And that's how so many in our country are today. But is that you? Do you just go to church? Or have you put roots down? Man, I hear things like when people are getting their roots put down, people newer to the church go say things like, I've only been here for a few weeks or a few months, but I feel like these people are my family. I'm putting roots down. I'm getting to know people. I'm helping this person. They're helping me. I'm serving over here. I'm growing. God's doing something in my life. That's where you know you're planted in the house of God. Have you put your roots down or are you just going to church? Let me tell you, I'll be honest with you. This church may not be for everybody. I mean, you may be a first-time guest today and you haven't heard that at other churches, but I'm going to tell you, this may not be the church for you. Some of you, let's be honest, some of you may say, you know, Mark, my other church before I moved here, I had a church where they had adult Sunday school and I just want a church with adult Sunday school. Let us know. Man, we can point out churches that have adult Sunday school and you can be a part of that and put your roots down there. That's great. That's awesome. Other people will say, you know, I'm not crazy about the worship here. I like different versions. I mean, I like stuff that's maybe more traditional or I like something that, yeah, that's kind of loud here. I want it to be even louder or whatever, you know. Where's the music I like? Well, tell us what kind and we'll point you to a church. Some of you may say, you know, I don't like a pastor that talks too loud and doesn't wear robes and isn't boring. We can point out a whole bunch of churches like that to you, right? I mean, they're like on every corner. So we can help you with that too. But what I'm saying is if it's not C3, that's okay. But find a place and put your roots down and begin to grow. Some of you may say, listen, some of you may say this. Man, I've tried for 3 weeks. Can I remind you, it takes a while for that seed to grow into a tree. If it hasn't worked yet in 3 weeks, try again. Try in another area. Try in another small group or another ministry here in the church. Do something different. But I'm going to tell you, if God wants you here, God wants you to be planted, not just going to church. Let's pray. So, Father, as we wrap up our time today, we thank you, God, that you love us and you, Jesus, you came to earth to seek and save the lost. And you died on the cross and you rose again. So if we accept what you did on the cross, we can have forgiveness of our sins and we can have a relationship with you that will last now and all into eternity. And I'm so thankful for that. Father, today, I know for some, this is kind of a hard message to talk about. And Father, for those that are just going to church, Lord, I pray right now you would begin to speak to them and let them know that you have something better for them, that you want them to flourish. You want them to grow and to know you better and to be a part of the church, not just go to church. So Father, I just pray for those right now that you would help them to take their next step, to begin to grow, to be a part of not just once a month, but be here each time. It's not negotiable to be part of a small group, to build relationships, to help one another. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to take whatever that next step is. And I thank you for what you're going to be doing. Father, I also pray this. There are people right now in each of our venues that, in the sound of my voice, they don't know you. Oh, they maybe go to church, but they've never accepted Jesus, which you did when you died and rose again. And so, Lord, today they're hearing that they can have forgiveness. They're hearing that they can have a personal relationship with you. And they're hearing that you have a mission and a calling for their life. So, Lord, there are some that right now they're bowing and accepting your forgiveness. They're accepting your relationship offer. And, Lord, today, they're also accepting your calling and your mission on their life. And Lord, I thank you for those that are making that decision. We celebrate that, and we know that heaven does as well. In your name we pray.
Amen.